Good morning. There. I can hear myself now. And welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can enter into the presence of our Lord on this day and offer him praise and thanksgiving for all the good things that God has done. A few announcements as we begin worship this morning. Many were on the screens as you were entering. However, bunch of stuff it's seasonal change here in worship. You probably noticed that Christmas trees and Advent candles and all that stuff have gone away. What that also means is the service music for today has changed. So all those things that you think you know, you're not going to know this morning. That's not true. Jennifer sparked on a couple of the things that we're going to change. But when we come to the time of the doxology, if it doesn't quite seem familiar, that's why. Roll with it. We're going to settle in for a whole, I can promise you till at least Easter, the same stuff. So things will settle out here and we'll learn some new music over the next little while. We also have a new hymn this morning, which will be a hymn for the month of it's January, right? Yeah, the month of January. So we will be teaching that in a few moments as well. You're going to work hard in worship this morning, but it will pay dividends for the next several months. You will have noticed in the bulletin this morning there was a copy of the Presbytery Visitation Questionnaire. As part of the regular ongoing oversight of the presbytery, which is the next level up of within the Presbyterian form of church government, the presbytery comes and visits congregations from time to time. COVID threw all of our best schedules off the rails. So we're getting back into the habit of the regular visitation. Presbytery wants to come, see how things are going, hear what wonderful things we're doing here at St. John's. And part of the feedback as they prepare for that is the questionnaire. So if you could take a few moments this week, even this morning while you're sitting there and thinking, gosh, she's another dull, boring sermon by Robert. If you've got a pen in your pocket, I won't mind if you fill out the questionnaire. If you're doing the shopping list, that's a different story, but the questionnaire will be okay. I did have a woman in a former congregation who said, you know, I used to sit in church and I used to fill out my shopping list for the week. But she said, then she told me she listens to me, so I felt good about that. But that's one of the things I will remember about Nancy. So if you could fill that out, because we would like to have all of those back by next week if possible, because the presbytery is coming to visit with us on January the 30th, which is a Thursday. And that means all of you are invited to come on that Thursday evening and meet with the representatives from the presbytery and just have a time of sharing. So please fill out the questionnaire, bring it back, and put January 30th in your calendars. It's not in the bulletin yet, but it will be next week. Confirmation classes are going to begin on January 26th, so please make note of that. Usually confirmation is for, you know, our kind of high school age young people, but if you're slightly older and think you might like to be catch up on kind of the basics of the Christian faith, we probably have room for you this year as well. Please give that some prayerful thought. New year, new envelopes, new numbers. Some of you have new numbers. You may have noticed that. Some of you may not have noticed. I'm always surprised when you say to people, what's your envelope number? And they go, I don't know. But I've had it for 75 years. Because there have been some, there have been some rearranging of some of the numbers, we do ask you to not use last year's envelopes, or the year before, or the year before. I worked in a church once. We got an envelope in that was about 10 years old. We had no idea who it belonged to, because the numbers had changed a couple of times in that decade. Please, if you want to use your 2024-23 extra offering envelopes to keep seeds in or whatever else, you to write your grocery list on the back, as we remember Nancy in worship this morning, that's fine. Just make sure you scratch out the front when you go home of all your old envelopes if you use them in that manner, so that they don't end up in a collection plate and get... It kind of can gum up the works sometimes if old envelopes start coming in and we miss the fact that it was last year's instead of this. Laura has some exciting news for you.
Good morning. So I'm just going to be talking more about the ad, about our upcoming chili supper and the Kaylee Drovers that we are having. That's happening on February 8th from 5:30 to 7:30. Tickets will be available today at the back. There will be a table set up. And next week, we will have sign-up sheets, and we're just asking for anyone that would be able to volunteer food contributions, helping out. Those sign-up sheets will be available next Sunday. We're looking forward to this event. It should be a fun time of food and fellowship. And we look forward to seeing everyone there, and hopefully you guys can help out and have some fun. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to modify this because many things have been said already. I will add one more thing to Reverend Adams' visitation sheet. You can tuck that in the thoughts and wishes box that it's just at the back at the McClellan Room, or you can drop it off at the office and ask Vina. She's there from 10 to 2 every day to drop it in my mailbox. Okay, thank you. So session met yesterday morning. It was our annual budget review as well as our regular January session meeting. And Reverend Adams constituted the court with a prayer and a message based on Isaiah 43:1-10. That verse or that section tells us that God will protect and heal us and keep us safe. It tells us that we are precious to him and we are to gather together in his name. We are to be witnesses to his power, faithfulness, and glory. Michelle Alexis reported on behalf of the Worship and Music Committee. They are looking for help on the tech team back at the desk. So if you are interested in volunteering your time on Sunday mornings, I know that Roy, Alex, and Dan would appreciate the help and would certainly give you all the training that you need. We also got our weekly attendance averages for 2024. And on YouTube, our average Sunday viewership is 15. On Facebook, the average is 9. And our in-person average for 2024 was 60. We're going to post the communion dates. We now have confirmed them for the year 2025. You did talk about General Assembly, the YAR. If you are a youth, a young person, no, you talked about confirmation classes, okay. If you're between the ages of 16 and 25, or if you know somebody who fits that age bracket, please consider attending or asking them if they'd be interested in attending the 2025 General Assembly. It is being held in Hamilton, Ontario at McMaster University beginning June 1st. And it's a really wonderful opportunity for youth to come together and share their faith and participate in the politics of the church. If you're interested, please see Robert. And then the roll committee asks that if you have not already done so, please provide the office with an update of your personal information, including phone number, address, email address, and birthdays. And in particular, if you have a young person who is associated with the church, we're looking for their year of birth. We're trying to get a good handle on the ages of our congregational members. And then finally, the session approved a proposed budget that will be presented at the annual congregational meeting, and that's going to be held on Sunday, February 23rd, following the service. If you are responsible for presenting a report and adding a report to the annual report itself, please ensure that it is received by the office no later than February 1st. Thank you.
Thank you, both Cynthia and Laura. And one thing I neglected to do as we entered in worship this morning was to welcome all those who are joining us on the live stream. We are pleased that you are here. And as we come into worship this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his people seek to walk in his path and abide in his light. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. The voice of the Lord is over the waters.
The God of glory thunders.
The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice.
The voice of the Lord is full of splendor.
The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, the heavens opened, the Spirit descended, and your voice affirmed your love in Jesus Christ for the healing of the human race and all of creation. By water and word, you lovingly invite us into this same life-giving mission. May your Spirit, moving like a stream of water flowing from its source, work in us this day to realize your vision of a world made new in Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our opening hymn is From all that dwell below the skies. There's a typo in my sheet. And the words for the hymn will appear before us on the screens. Let us sing the hymn.
Oh,
Please be seated. Ever ready with cleansing love, God invites our confession, offering mercy and strength so that we may start anew. As we come in worship this day, let us confess our sins as we say together the prayer as it appears before us on the screen. In the waters of baptism, O God, you have cleansed us and claimed us. Forgive us for refusing your grace and rejecting your name. We have followed our own paths, and they have led us far from you. Help us to live into our baptisms, to trust that all we need is in you, for you have marked us as your own, loving us without limit. Wash us with your love again, that with clean hearts we may go in the way of Jesus. Amen. Friends in Christ, the love of God flows ceaselessly. The mercy of God never ends. This is the good news. In Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. We introduce our hymn for the month. This month is, I Want to Walk as a Child of Light. And I meant to give you music this morning, and that I forgot to put in the bulletin because I was too busy worrying about the presbytery questionnaire getting into the bulletin. But here's a couple of quick things. It has four lines, and it repeats halfway through. Isn't that convenient? So it kind of, you'll sing the first line and the second line, and then you'll come back, and it starts over again. Except at the very end, it will do a little weird thing, and then there's a refrain. If this morning all that you learn is the refrain, that is a wonderful thing. And we'll catch on to the rest of it throughout the season of Epiphany. But we start, can we start, Minna, we didn't talk about this downstairs, can we start with the play through the whole chorus once. And guys at the back, is it possible for us to go and put the words for the chorus up while Minna is playing it through as an introduction? And then we're going to want to go back to the beginning of verse one, so just be ready for that. So Minna's going to play the chorus as the introduction. The words are here for you to kind of follow along with it as we begin to sing. Thank you. And I'm going to say congratulations because looking out, there were mouths that were moving at about the same time as the music, and it looked like you were getting the words. So well done for the first try. We will circle back to that several more times before so that we can gain familiarity. And it's that time. Preston! Janiyah, come on up. We're over on this side this morning, so just to throw a curveball. I don't have a spot on this side where I need to stand, so you want to jump right up here, right up here. How you doing this morning? Good, excellent. Oh. Come on up, Izzy. And Hannah, too. What was the first thing you did when you woke up this morning? You went to mom's room. You woke up mom? She was already awake. Oh, that's good. That's good. Izzy, what was the first thing you did? First big thing you did? Eat breakfast. Well, okay, that makes sense too. Hannah, eat breakfast. Guess actually, the first thing I did was eat breakfast, too. I'm of a certain age. Actually, the first thing I do every morning is put eye drops in my eyes. But second thing I did was... But at some point, in your getting ready to come to church this morning, I'm thinking your mom or your dad probably said, all right, get into that bathroom and... Brush your teeth. That's very good. Very good. And wash your face. Wash your hands. Right? Always change it. We all washed our face and washed our hands this morning, right? Right? We get clean. Now, the stories that we're hearing that story downstairs too, right? Trish sends us the information and I always forget to look at it until I'm standing right here. The stories that we're going to hear this morning is about Jesus being baptized. And one of the things that we, one of the concepts that's part of our idea of being baptized is that we become clean. That through baptism, our sins and all of the bad things that we do are washed away so that we can be perfect and stand in the presence of God.
Not like physically
but spiritually clean. Yes, that would be what the Apostle Paul would say. You're right. And the amazing thing, we have two what we call sacraments, two special things that we do in church, in our denomination. We remember Jesus and our faith through baptism, and we remember Jesus and our faith through the celebration of the Lord's Supper, where Jesus broke bread and wine for his disciples. Right? Two things that we do, and those are special things. And we say that they are both, it's going to come up in sermons, so pay attention, take notes, stop writing your grocery list, that they are both a sign, a symbol, and a sign. So it reminds us that like we wash ourselves physically in the morning when we get up, we are washed of our sins at the font, at our baptism. That is a symbol. But then the sign is something deeper. Like you said, it's not just that it's an outward thing, but it's an inward thing too, that changes who we are. That was a very, very deep and theological comment that you made, Janaya. Well done. Yeah, Preston. Do we do baptism in this church? Oh, we sure do. And we remember our baptisms from time to time too. And this is the morning when we remember our baptism. So that's why we're doing it. The amazing thing about baptism is that it happens once, but it continues forever. Right? It's kind of like you wake up in the morning and you're getting ready to go to church. You've had your breakfast. You go into the bathroom. You brush your teeth. You wash your face. You wash your hands. And you're clean, right? Now, you can go home this afternoon and go run outside to play. It's kind of messy and slushy and dirty outside, isn't it? And you can come in and you can be messy and slushy and dirty, right? And that means you're going to have to go and wash again, right? And that's always a good habit, right? That's the habit that we have. We wash our hands all the time to make sure that we're free of germs and disease and we're clean. Baptism happens just once. For many of us, we don't remember it. Is there anybody here who does remember their baptism? Well, we got a couple of hands, three. But most of us don't, because I was 6 weeks old, I think. I wasn't even 6 weeks old when I was baptized. Me and my two cousins. We were all baptized together, and I was very, very young. So I don't remember my baptism. And likewise, for many, many of the people here, do you remember your baptism? You do? You were six. Oh, and Preston was four. Excellent. So you guys actually remember it. You remember standing up front and having the water put on your head, right? Yeah. It only happens once. That's right. We don't remember it, but it only happens once, and it is good for all. Like when we go outside to play and we get dirty and we come back in and we have to wash again. The washing of our sins away at baptism is a gift of God that is In the church, we use funny words. We say it is new and fresh every morning. Every morning when we wake up, it is if it is a brand new day and we are a brand new person because we have been baptized. And any of the bad stuff that we did yesterday, God has forgiven and it's washed away. And we get to start anew to try to learn to be more like God again today. So as you're listening to the story this morning, I think you're going to have a wonderful class downstairs, Trish, you're going to learn a lot this morning. as you're listening to the Bible story this morning, listen for those, for how Jesus is baptized, and we'll think about what it means, and I'm sure you're going to have great discussions downstairs. Thank you for coming up. It's been great to talk to you this morning, and we'll see you all after worship. Now, you did so good in that last one. We're going to try to teach you another song. This one is really simple. If you liked the last one because it repeated once, it did, sang the first two lines over, this one just repeats and repeats and repeats. Now, and it's called Over My Head. I'm going to ask Roy to put on the first slide, please. Thanks, Roy. Okay. And I'm just going to sing it before I ask Minna to start. Are you ready? Pay close attention. This is very, very difficult. Over my head, I see trouble in the air. Over my head, I see trouble in the air. Over my head, does that sound familiar? I see trouble in the air. There must be a God somewhere. Okay? Think we can do that one? This is going to be our prayer of illumination for the next several weeks. So we're going to sing it in a seated. I'm sure once you get used to the words, you'll be able to even close your eyes to sing it. But let us begin with, we'll sing our prayer for illumination, Over My Head.
First reading is from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 to 7. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Second reading is a responsive reading, Psalm 29, the voice of God upon the waters. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Syrian like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all say, glory!
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. The next reading is from Acts 8, verses 14 to 17. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet the Spirit had not come down upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit.
Once more, let us sing our praise to God, hymn 183. Christ, when for us you were baptized, hymn 183. and continuing to read from God's word as it is given to us in Luke chapter 3, reading verses 15 to 17 and 21 to 22. Listen for God's word to his people. Now, as the people were filled with expectation and were questioning in their hearts concerning John the Baptist whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Over the past couple of weeks, I think we have heard some of the most beautiful texts in the Hebrew Scriptures as we've read these various passages from the prophet Isaiah. These readings that we have heard for the last couple of weeks, and the reading we heard today from Isaiah chapter 43, fill us with hope, just as they would have done for the people who read them and heard them proclaimed first millennia ago. What makes them so beautiful is their poetic nature. Each of our readings for the past couple of weeks now has sung out its hopefulness. These readings are usually attributed to an unknown author known as 2nd Isaiah. A little bit of background. The book of the prophet Isaiah, you see, spans the length of the Babylonian exile that spanned from about 760 B.C. to about 580. That's quite a long time. Longer than the lifespan, probably, of one person. And during that period of the exile, just as a reminder, it was the time when the leaders of the children of God had been taken away into captivity into Babylon because of their sinfulness. And those who were left behind were abandoned, without leadership, were without hope. And no one was left to give them hope. It was a period of time in the Hebrew history that lasted for generations. Imagine hopelessness for generations. And thus it's hard to believe that Isaiah was just one man. And yet we know there are similarities in content and in the style of writing within the book of the prophet Isaiah, which makes it a unified whole. It's commonly accepted that the book of Isaiah was written by a school of prophets, by the first one, Isaiah, and by his students after him through the generations, chronicling the time of the exile when the people were living in hopelessness and despair, and then of the return of the leadership of the people and the new hope arising. And that's what we hear today. It is that idea that there is a new hope arising. Here this morning, the prophetic utterance has to do with the return of those people from exile. But now, thus says the Lord, "He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. Sometimes, you know, I think we lose the meaning of words in the Bible, don't we? We grow used to hearing them there, and we kind of take them for granted, and we don't scratch our head too much when a strange or odd word comes up. It's just Bible language. And here in this passage this morning, that word redeem kind of floats by us. We don't think about it too much, perhaps. But the idea that God redeems his people means that God pays a ransom to free the people from captivity and their sin. He has given the nations, Isaiah tells us. And Isaiah, speaking for God, says, I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Sheba in exchange for you. So great is God's love for Israel that he is willing to give up part of what is his so that he might have them. Throughout this passage, the redeeming acts of God are continually called to mind, I think. At least that's what spoke to me as I read and reread this passage this week. The promise of God in the great covenant that he made with Abraham and Sarah and their descendants after them is here, right? That idea that Israel has been formed and chosen to be God's precious ones, and that all the world will see God's redemptive power because of what he does in the lives of these particular people. And even perhaps we hear echoes of the rescue of the people of God from the land of Egypt during the Exodus wandering, that even that might be here. It's hard for us to hear the words that we read in verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame will not consume you. It's hard to hear that and not think of the children of God fleeing Egypt under Moses' leadership and walking through the Red Sea as it parts, isn't it? When you walk through the water, I will be with you. And of God's pillar of fire that stood guard over their camps and led them at night during part of the Exodus wandering, and then later in the Exodus wandering became the symbol of God's presence with his people in the tent of meeting that they had built as an abiding place for their God. Hard not to hear that echo there in that verse. This reading speaks to us then of the trustworthiness of God, one who is willing to act, who is already acting to restore his faithful people, even before we can imagine it, even when we're lost in our fear. God is already working the way out. And it's an appropriate reading then to accompany and place side by side with the gospel text that we read from about Jesus' baptism. As I was preparing this week, I listened to a weekly podcast that I usually try to fit in somewhere in the week. It's produced by several members of the faculty of Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. And one of the presenters, Professor Rolf Jacobson, made the comment, and it was almost offhand. He said, of course, you know, we all know that the baptism that Jesus undergoes in the Jordan is not the same thing as the Christian baptism that we celebrate in the church today. I had to think about that for a second. He said it, and he kept going on with another thought. And I'm like, whoa, Oops. Sorry, guys. I always thought, whoa, you can't just say that and then not explain it. I want to know more. But as I thought about these texts and the promised deliverance of the people that we hear in the book of the prophet Isaiah, I think I began to understand. But maybe I'm getting ahead of myself just a little bit. So let's one step back. As Jesus comes to the Jordan this morning to be baptized by John, John is already baptizing. Baptism exists before Jesus and the church. The act of baptism within the Jewish faith was a ritual cleaning, a symbol that existed in the Jewish faith of Jesus' day. We know that. Part of the reason we know it is because John the Baptist did it. That's why he's called John the Baptist. Baptism was the rite of initiation of converts into the Jewish faith, even then. But more so, for certain groups of people like the Essenes, who were a group of devout Jews who lived an ascetic life in the wilderness, it was also a part of their daily devotion. Every day they would be baptized. We believe that John actually was part of that Essene community who called the faithful of Jesus' time to recommit themselves to and their lives, two lives of devotion, to put God in the center of all that they did. And we're told that many came out into the wilderness to hear John, to hear his preaching, and to receive his baptism, a symbol of their desire to be made clean. And it's on one of those days, when people are going out and the crowds are standing all around, that Jesus steps into the moment. And Jesus, too, is baptized in the Jordan. But we know there's something else going on, don't we? That there's more to just the story than Jesus receiving some sort of symbolic cleansing. We have the benefit of the revelation of the nature of Jesus through Scripture for all of the years that it has existed between that day and today. And we know that Jesus had no need to be baptized. Jesus was not changed by his baptism. Indeed, you know, that has been one of the great discussions and controversies within the church throughout the centuries of why does Jesus go out to be baptized by John? Why does the one who would be without sin stoop to receive such a baptism? And I would suggest that when we become distracted by that particular type of discussion, we become distracted by that particular type of discussion because we get things backwards a little bit. I would suggest, as Jesus comes to the river this morning, baptism does not change Jesus, but Jesus changes baptism. Baptism does not change Jesus, but Jesus changes baptism. I struggled with how to describe this. It's a weak illustration, but I think it gets there. For some of us, it's a weaker illustration than others. That'll become apparent, the joke there in a second. Have you ever made a cup of tea? Have you ever made tea in a cup or perhaps in a clear teapot so that you can see through the wall of the pot and watch the tea? Have you ever watched them? What has happened as you place a tea bag into that hot water and maybe do one of these? Have you noticed that slowly the tea begins to move out from the sachet, thin wisps at first perhaps, swirling in the eddies of the water in the cup, until more and more of the cup becomes colored by the tea. And slowly the color deepens as more and more tea becomes infused in the water. Now, if you drink weak tea, you don't get that same experience, but I drink strong tea. Just ask. Just ask the ladies on Wednesday. I always tease them about their tea. A nice full cup of tea, and then I can tell you a story about my grandmother making tea. Ask me at the door. But here it is. So the idea here, I think, is that as Jesus steps into the River Jordan to receive baptism from John the Baptist, that in that process, baptism is infused with the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit until it becomes something that it was not before. In much the same way as the tea infuses the water and changes it into something different. For John, baptism was but a symbol of a purification and a desire for a new life. But for us, it is more than that. For Christians, we affirm that baptism is both, as we said with the young people, sign and symbol. That in this moment when Jesus steps into that water, Jesus adds himself into that story that we read from Isaiah chapter 43 that chronicles the various ways that God through history attempted to redeem the people of Israel. With the covenant, through creation itself, with the covenant that he made with Abraham and Sarah and his descendants after them, through the exile and the restoration of the people that Isaiah speaks of from restoration of people from exile that Isaiah speaks of in his reading this morning, and then as its pinnacle, Jesus stepping into that water and proclaiming for all who would believe that God has been committed all along to bringing about their salvation, and that in Christ it has come true. In that moment of baptism where the Holy Spirit infuses the Jordan for that moment because Jesus has done so and infuses our sacrament of baptism still. Heaven and earth come close. We are indeed made pure and enabled to stand in the presence of our God. Regardless of what we have done, regardless of the suffering that we have endured, the promise that is in these passages today is that God goes with us and that God will never leave us alone. May that be hope for us, for you, this day and always. Amen. Part of usually the baptism of Jesus Sunday, we remember our own baptisms in a symbolic and real way. As we mentioned with the children, many of us do not remember our own baptism. For many congregations, baptism is not as regular in our worship services as it once was. But it is good that we gather around the font from time to time to remind ourselves of both of the promises of God and of the promises that we who are God's people make in return. So we come this day to the font to remember and renew our baptismal vows. Hear these words from Scripture. Scripture exhorts us to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I would invite you to stand. Sisters and brothers in Christ, our baptism is a sign and seal of our cleansing from sin and of our being grafted into Christ Jesus our Lord. Through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Christ, the power of sin has broken and God's kingdom entered our world. Through our baptism, we were made citizens of God's kingdom and freed from the bondage of sin. Let us celebrate that freedom and redemption through the renewal of the promises that we made at our baptisms. Therefore, I ask you once again to reject sin, to profess your faith in Christ, and to confess the faith of the church, the faith into which we were baptized. There are some responses that should be on the screen at this point. Yes, there we are. Friends, if you would follow along on the screens, trusting in the grace and mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? Who is your Lord and Savior? Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? With the whole church, let us confess our faith as we say together the Apostles' Creed. And the creed for this morning is in the form of question and answer. Do you believe in God the Father? Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, the Lord be with you and also with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord. Let us pray. Oh, and you may be seated. Eternal and gracious God, we give you thanks in countless ways, for the many ways in which you have revealed yourself in ages past and have blessed us with signs of your grace. We praise you that through the waters of the sea you led your people Israel out of bondage and into the freedom of the land that you promised. We praise you for sending Jesus your Son, who for us was baptized in the waters of the Jordan and was anointed as the Christ by your Holy Spirit. Through the baptism of his death and resurrection, you set us free from the bondage of sin and death and have given us cleansing and rebirth. We praise you for your Holy Spirit, who teaches us and leads us into all truth, filling us with a variety of gifts, that we might proclaim the gospel to all nations and serve you as a royal priesthood. We rejoice that you claimed us in our baptism, and that by your grace we are born anew. By your Holy Spirit, renew us, that we may be empowered to do your will and continue forever in the risen life of Christ, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all glory and honor, now and forevermore. Amen. Friends, let us remember our baptisms and be thankful. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. As people who have passed through the waters of baptism from death to life, let us make our grateful offering to God, our Redeemer, as we present our tithes and offerings.
God from whom all blessings flow, praise God all creatures here below, praise God above the heavenly hosts, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Let us pray. O God, at his baptism you acknowledged Jesus as your beloved Son, and through him you opened to us a way to become your children by grace. May these gifts that we return to you be a sign of our dedication to live as your faithful sons and daughters, born in the waters of baptism by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, as we reflect on Jesus' baptism and the blessing of your Holy Spirit, we lift up our prayers to the world, trusting that you are with us in our hopes, our needs, and our challenges. We pray for your church across the world, that it may be a source of hope, compassion, and justice. May we, as your people, remember our baptismal calling to be light in the world, sharing your love with humility and courage. Empower us to follow Jesus' example of radical compassion, reaching out to those in need and advocating for justice in our communities. We pray for leaders of all nations, that they may seek wisdom, integrity, and a commitment to peace. May they govern with justice, and may their decisions bring life, safety, and hope to all people. Strengthen them to care for the vulnerable, the poor, and those who seek refuge and freedom. God of comfort, we lift up all who suffer today, those who are burdened by illness, loss, or isolation. We pray for those facing oppression and hardship, that they may feel your strength beside them. Grant healing to the sick, peace to the grieving, and community to the lonely. Help us, O God, to be your hands and feet, bringing comfort and love wherever there is pain. Creator God, we pray for the world that you have made, for your beautiful creation. Guide us to be responsible caretakers, tending to the planet with respect and wisdom. May we work together to protect it, ensuring a future for generations yet to come. Finally, Lord, we lift up our own lives, asking that you would renew our faith and open our hearts to your Spirit. Help us to live as your beloved children, caring for others, standing up for what is right, and offering compassion to all we meet. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray in this manner: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is number 685 in the Book of Praise. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. Hymn number 685. Friends, we have been with Jesus to the River Jordan, river of life, river of promise. Let us now go forth in the joy of life to live as children of the promise. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who stood with sinners on the riverbank, uphold you. May the love of God, who calls us beloved children, bless you. And may the power of the Holy Spirit, who descended upon Jesus as a dove, give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.